It's not Negeyu, Martin. Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue the Rambam. Hilchas Sanhedrin, Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Gimel, Chapter 3. No? One second, where am I now? Chapter 2. Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Gimel, Chapter 2, Law 13. Okay. Now, even though a court of three is considered a complete lower level court, there's nothing wrong with it. It can be done to adjudicate monetary cases. Still calls manche marabim hares v'shuva. But if you can have more than three, that is better. Okay, the more the merrier. Okay, they tell us, Rav Huna, for example, when he would do a judgment of three, he still would try to gather them 10 sages from the base medrash so that they would be able to... Interesting the way the Gemara discusses that if they ever would make a mistake in judgment, God forbid, and they'd be held responsible by Hashem, you'd be spreading out the guilt, so to speak. In other words, if only three people make a mistake, all the weight is on three people, as it were. If there's 10, first of all, obviously there'd be a better chance not to make a mistake. But if there is an error, it gets spread amongst 10, and therefore it's not as bad on the individuals. So therefore, it's good to, even though three is okay, but the more the merrier. It's better if you can cut the judgment, as it were, 11 for and 10 against. In other words, it's even good to go up to 21. Why do you stop at 21? Because once it's 23, it's a Sanhedrin Ketana. That's a very different story. So in other words, you can even go up to 21 and have a difference of 11 to 10 in monetary cases, and that'll be amazing. But still, you want initially that those that are sitting in the court should all be scholars and fitting people to be judges. In other words, that they're very able to be meticulous in what the case is going on, and they should have sterling midos. Yudal, the usur la adam chacham lake she yeshev bedin achedum yeshev. It's forbidden for a scholar to sit in a court unless he knows who he's sitting with. He's like, he asks, who else is on the court? Well, you know, you never know who you'll find on the court there. So you got to know why. Shami yitzdare v'manoshem hagunim. It could be he'll be connected with who are not worthy to be on a court. V'nimsa bechlal kesher bogdim. He'd be now included in being connected to those who are rebellious against the Torah, and lo bechlal bezdin. He'd not be incorporated in part of a real bezdin. So therefore, you don't want to be connected with those evil people. It's interesting that the Sma brings down in Hosha Mishpat that Rabbi Yaakov Vil wrote to the Marshal, if you listen to my advice, don't stand next to the regular, sit with the regular community leaders in judgment cases, because the judgments of Balabatim versus the judgments of scholars are two opposite kinds of judgments. So be careful who you sit with when you sit in a case court of law. No, sometimes these are not such good people. Make a court. You know, not just because the law is brought down doesn't mean everybody adheres to the law. That's all we're saying. You know, you could have people who decide we're going to make a kangaroo court. You know, we're going to make a court, and they're totally not worthy. Remember, you know, you have little villages or this. You know, people just sometimes take, you know, do what they want to do. And then they call an esteemed rabbi, we'd like you to come and sit in our court with us. I was going to say, who you got? Amoritz 1, Amoritz 2, Amoritz 3. Forget it, I don't want to sit with you guys. I have nothing to do with it. Besides the fact, they'd be lending credibility to a court that wasn't credible.
By the way, they wanted it.
So, yeah, so therefore, you know, don't be a chaser fiesel for those kinds of courts. Okay, Perek Gimel is a relatively easy perek. Aleph. At what time of the day does a Jewish court sit in judgment? So Sanhedrin Ketana Ubezin Shel Shlosha, the lower court of a 23 Sanhedrin, or a court of three. Yoshvim Meyachar Tefilah Shachar. They start sitting from after the morning prayers that started at Neitzachama at sunrise. When morning prayers are over, they sit because no one can come to court before davening. So no one's going to be in court before davening. So they daven with everybody else. And when davening's over, then they sit. And how long do they sit? Ant sof sheish sha'os bayom. Until the end of the sixth hour of the day. That's the day that they put in. So a little less than a half a day. Now, why is this midday? Because that's the time when scholars are supposed to eat. That's the time when they eat. That's the
so sixth, they don't eat until that time?
Wait a minute. Now, we're going to see, though, that the Gemara also says a person wants to eat something before that. Because if you don't eat until the end of the sixth hour of the day, they describe it as a very not filling meal. In other words, if you eat, if you're fasting a half a day and that's when you eat your breakfast, it's not very healthy. It's not good for the body unless you have a little bit beforehand. So therefore, they have to eat a little something right after davening, a little something to tide them over. And then they go for the next 5 hours, let's say, until the end of the sixth hour, and then they have their main meal of the day. Avol Bezdin HaGodol, but the big Bezdin in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash, that had 71. HaYoshvim mitamid shachar atamid shel arbaim. They would sit there from the morning Korban Tamid until the afternoon Korban Tamid. That's at 9.5 hours of the day. And I would imagine the reason is very obvious, because that's the time when Korbanos were done. After that time, there are no Korbanos. And why would a person come for the Beis HaMikdash unless to bring a Korban? That one's a busy time, and I guess if guys bring a korban, he'll go to the court if he has something to ask as well. So since they're right next to the Mizbeach, they're right next to the altar, that Bezdin. So if they're right next to the altar, so I guess people are only going to be there when they're bringing korbanos, so they should be available at their times. U'b'Shabbos v'yomim tov. And what about on the Shabbos and the Yontiv? Hayoshvim b'beis ha-medrash shebahar ha-bayis. They wouldn't sit in the Lishkas HaGozis, the chamber of hewn stones, where they normally would sit. They would sit in a study hall somewhere on the Temple Mount, that its Kedusha was a little bit less than the Kedusha of the room they were in. And why would they change their place? An interesting reason that the Gemara says, so it shouldn't look like they're sitting in judgment. Because really, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to make judgments. So I guess, obviously, they couldn't be doing any court case. So they could probably answer Shilohs or things like that. They couldn't do like a real court case, per se. You can't do real court cases on Shabbos. They'd be in the base version. You ask the Shiloh, you want to, you know, they'd be there as scholarly resources, as it were. Because only in the main room of the Lishkas HaGoz, they would render court cases. So, but they should still be available on Shabbos. People come on Shabbos to the Beis HaMikdash. So they want to, they have a Kash on Gemara. There's a lot of questions. Question on faith. A lot of, these are big scholars.
I mean, just imply the full sessions.
Yeah, so he's just saying that they're in the Beis HaMikdash. They're learning and they should be available to the public. Because if they'd be sitting where they normally would sit, even though they're not judging, people would think that they were judging. Since they can't judge, but they sit in the Beis HaMikdash and there's people with whom they can talk. Okay. Now, the question on a halacha basis, if you were on this court of 71, now obviously these were very great people. These were just simple people. And they must have been needed for more than just sitting on a bezin. They must have needed for community needs. They must have, you know, what if they needed someone to check the Eruv face? You'd have to go out and check the Eruv. There's all kinds of things that would require them to leave the Beis HaMikdash in order to take care of the spiritual needs of the people. So the question is, would they be, all 71, be tied down to the Sanhedrin in that courtroom or not? So the Rambam explains what was the regulations. Ein bezin shel shivim ve'echad tzrichim sheyoshim kulam ke'echad b'mkom v'shebemikdash. Not all 71 judges have to be in their place in the Beis HaMikdash. Ela be'eshu tzrichim lehiskabes. But in a case when they had to get together for something very important that needed 71, as an important case was coming up, right? Then Niskavchen Kol. Then they would all get together. As we will see in Perek Hey, we'll give specific issues where you needed all 71. But not always did you need 71. Ubisharitos, and at other times, Komisha Hoylo Asik, anyone who had a particular business, judgment had to be ruled, if any judge had to do any other of his own business, whatever it was, you know, drive a carpool place, I don't know. He does what he needs. He could be excused from the court, and then he'd come back. However, you can't leave. You can't leave with less than 23 there. There always has to be a minimum of 23, because that's the minimum you now need to render on capital crimes. So you can't leave that. So therefore, if anyone would ever have to leave, the first thing you have to do, you have to look and see how many people are left in the chamber. If there's 23 there, he's permitted to leave. But if not, he cannot leave until somebody else comes to make sure there will be 23 when he leaves. They always have to be able to judge capital cases at any time during business hours.
So remember we had those rings, you had the top tier and then the other 23 and the other 23?
That was with a regular 23. That wasn't with a 71. Oh. The 71 was a semicircle, 35 on one side, 35 on the other half, as it were.
So but they only sit like that when they're in session.
Well, whatever, that was his seat. So he would leave his seat.
Right.
So if you had a capital case and you could have a lot of the judges away as long as you had 23.
Yeah, but we'll see. Allah will have to tell us what cases could they not be away for. We'll have to see what were the cases that they could not.
Capital case.
So could be. We'll have to wait and see when we get there. I have to see where is it. Oh, I'm sweat. Where is this? Where is this? Perek Hey Allah Aleph. Okay, for example, making a sota drink, certain things. Oh, here it is. One second. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Dine Nefashos needs 71. Okay, so that's something that needs 71. So I guess they'd know if the case was coming up, right? So, but not all cases. A monetary case, for example, only needed 3. And certain ones need all 7. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see what it is.
Could they hold a prisoner or a defendant before trial for a certain period of time?
There was no holding for trials. The trials were done immediately.
But no, in a case where something happened and the 71 weren't there.
I don't know. But it would happen. They get back fast. I mean, they don't go away. You know, yeah, if somebody killed somebody in the middle of the afternoon, they'd have to wait to get everybody back. But it wouldn't take too long. At least everybody would be there by the next day. It wouldn't, no news. They couldn't have lived far away.
Someone killed someone
They couldn't have lived far away. They were walking, right? They couldn't have lived in Swaz. They have to be living in Yerushalayim.
If someone kills someone on Shabbos, you don't sit there. You have to wait
till next day. So that's what you have policemen for. Right? There must be some way to hold. We'll see. Okay, Gimel. We do not begin any judgments in the nighttime. The rabbis have understood this law to be such. And Lamdu, they learn this. They make a comparison between judging cases and viewing a nega of tzaras, viewing leprosy markings to see if that makes the person tamei or not. And how do we know that? Shenemar, because the pasuk says, "Kol riv v'chol nega." The Torah makes a hekesh with the words. It says, "All arguments and any nega and any type of physical disease." Okay, so you see, there's a connection between the two of them that they are compared to. And what do we know about a nega? What do we know about tzaras? Mariyas negoyim bayom bilvav. We know that checking the skin to see if it's tzaras or not can only be in the day, because it says in Vayikru, bayom harosbo, on the day that they show him, you have to have natural light. So there's a comparison to that. So afhadinim bayom bilvav. Similarly, court cases can only be done in the day. Okay? Now, I would assume, you know, even from a logical perspective, by the end of the day, people are tired. You know, I don't think you're sharpest at nighttime already. Even in a spiritual sense, night is not a time of...
Mundane.
What?
Mundane.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, after a long day, to start a case at night already, your mind isn't so fresh to absorb all the information.
But again, they dismiss the jury at night and they go to their hotel room because they can't keep deliberating.
Whatever. But here they're saying you cannot start a case in the day. So the Rambam is clear on that. They can't do it only in the day. It's interesting. The Yerushalmi says if the Dayanim made a mistake and they judged at night, he says their judgment is still considered a judgment. The Yerushalmi says, because it says in the Pasuk, Vishaftas Ha'am B'chaleis, and the judges judge people at all times. However, some say that's not correct, and they make a change to the text of Jerusalem Talmud, and only say that they finish at night. That's according to everybody kosher. So we're not sure what the Rambam would say b'dieved, but it seems that you should not start court cases at night. We'll see. You can end them at night, but you can't
continue. You can continue.
Continue into the night, but you cannot start in the day, in the night. Dalit v'cheni makabu meidus. You also don't do the following things at night. We don't accept testimony because testimony, that's like the beginning of a court case. Because how do you start a court case? We call the witnesses. First, you call all the witnesses. That's the first step. Then the Bezdin deliberates. Then they may call back the witnesses or whatever, but what's the beginning of any case? You don't have, a lawyer give a 3-hour opening statements and then rebuttals and that. Just say, okay, well, let's just hear the case.
Have the surprise witnesses like Perry Mason.
Get the witnesses coming over here, right? So that's the beginning of the judgment. So we don't do that. And we don't validate documents that the signatures of the Edim are their own signatures and it's not a forgery. Balayla. We don't do that at night as well. Because verifying that is like a judgment itself. That is a judgment. You have to judge that the signature is a verifiable signature. Ubedina mummies, okay. Now what about monetary cases? Now it's going back to the beginning of the halacha that says even though you don't start cases at night, which means that the bedafka you don't start it at night, but you can finish it, but that's only by, very important, im hischilu by yom muta ligmur badin balayla. By monetary cases, if you start in the day, you can end at night. Okay, but it appears that's only by monetary cases only that you can finish at night. Rambam's only saying you finish it, the monetary ones at night. Seems that the capital cases, you do not finish at night.
But didn't we say in the previous halakhas that they stop sitting after 6 hours and 9 hours?
Well, but what if they have to, what if it's that's to start cases.
Well, that's just to start cases.
To start, but if they're in the middle of a long case, they're not going to let it, if for monetary cases, they can finish it up.
So when we said that was their work day, that's not entirely right. I guess
that would be considered the day when they start the cases. Now this is all based on a Gemara and Sanhedrin, because one pasuk says in Shmos, they will judge the people all day long. Which would imply at all times, b'chol eis, at all times would imply even at night. But another verse says, it will be on the day that the court decides to give inheritance to his children. Which would seem that the court only judges in the daytime, because it doesn't say it's at the time they made the judgment. It says in the day when they make the judgment. So how do we resolve it? The answer is that the daytime can be the beginning of the judgment, and the nighttime is the end of the judgment, because the beginning of the judgment is the main thing. But that's all for monetary cases, say the commentaries. But capital offenses, you have to finish in the day, as we'll see later on in chapter 11. Now, it is interesting, the Sma brings down in Chosha Mishpat, that if both litigants are very happy to judge the case at night, then for monetary cases only, they're allowed to bring the case at night. Because that's no different than them being willing to accept certain judges who normally would not be acceptable of judges. You know, for example, relatives can't be judges. What if, because it could slant the case, what if both sides in the case are willing to have the guy's relative be the judge? Then it's okay. If the both sides are agreeing to what the conditions are, then you know we're not going by the strict rules of what a court is. Okay, so, and in all these things, so if the two sides are willing to do the monetary case at night, you can do the monetary case at night.
Yes,
we're just saying in terms of compelling. The guy said, I'd prefer not to have it at night. Well, then you can't force the guy to start it at night, but you can always finish it at night. Okay, now, hey, similar ideas. Hanachalos, what about inheritance cases? Kadinim is considered like judgments. Okay, and therefore, you have all these rules here. You have to have three people. And also, the conclusion is, the Rambam says, Lefigo, therefore, ein mapilin nechos v'alav. Therefore, we do not render decisions in inheritance at night, because that is a judgment that you only have to do in the day. Now, if they start in the day and it goes into the night, then that's okay, because that's no different than any monetary case. Okay, now, here's an interesting scenario in Alach Avav. Shnayim shenechnasu levaker es achayle. Two people come to visit a sick man, but he's really sick. And now he commands before them to write his will and testament. He does it orally. Who's going to inherit his property? He didn't make any wills yet. He verbally tells these two guys, this is the way I'm going to inherit, because I think I'm going to die any time now. Okay, so now, if he tells them that, kosvim, they are allowed to write down as a testimony. Okay, and in other words, they write down what he said. They now effectively are two witnesses, so after the father dies, they're going to testify. When the family's going to want to divide the assets, they're going to say, we don't know what to do, there was no will. They say, oh yes, there was. And they will come, not as a bezdin, these two guys, they're going to come as witnesses as they write down. But these two fellows cannot be, they know so din, they can't be the judges to say what's going to happen, because, as we said, two are never initially allowed to be judges, but just witnesses, and as it was. In the beginning, they weren't really doing it under the auspices as being judges. They were doing it as being witnesses. So therefore, they can now not make it as a judgment. However, what if when the guy died, there were three people there when he died, and he's giving them instructions? And if there were three people of there, so now they have a choice what they could do. They could decide to behave as witnesses, or they could decide to act, if they're scholarly enough, to act in the capacity of judges. So if Ratz, if they want, calls, if they want, they write it down as testimony, the way it worked before. And Ratz, if they want, Asudim, they could make themselves judges, as it were, to determine that that's the rendering is, and there's no need to do anything more than that. And they can really say, this is like a judgment. And now we could just tell the children of Amorites, this is a judgment that we made. Again, we'd have to assume these were three respectable people, etc., etc., that would be fit to be judges. Obviously, they're not fit to be judges. This would be a moot point. Let's say he took the three greatest rabbis in the city to be there before he dies. And he tells them this and this and that and that. Well, now they have a choice. Do they want to act as witnesses, or do they want to act as judges? Because they're, in fact, are doing everything that would be like a judge. But let's just finish up. But when can you do this as a judgment? But Medrash, when can you do this? By Yom, only if the three people visited him in the daytime. Because the only two judgments in the daytime. But if he was sick and dying at nighttime and they came, then you can't do it as a bezdin, because a bezdin can't work at night. Because the only thing they could do is write it down as a testimony. And then, they know something, they don't make a judgment, and even, they can only be understood as witnesses, because we'll see later, witnesses cannot turn into judges. So therefore, if they want to say that they are judges, they have to wait for the next day. If they want to say, but if it's at night, they can't really act as judges, they can only act as witnesses, and they can't even turn around and be judges for the next day.
So, if there were three, would not the other potential inheritors have to agree? Like we said before?
No.
So don't they have an inherent bias?
Not if there's three. Why? Why should the three people have an inherent bias?
As judges. Because they...
Why?
Because they... Aren't they going to inherit?
No, we're not saying they're inheriting. We're not saying they're inheriting. They're just saying...
Oh, I see. Okay, so they're not...
They're just saying what the inheritance is.
Okay.
These people are not inheriting. They're just witnesses.
Okay.
But if there's...
Certainly, if they're going to inherit, you couldn't do that at all.
All right.
Couldn't trust them at all for that.
Rosh Hashanah talks about that whole case, about the judges with...
Yeah. Yeah.
If there's a base minimum in the city of three other judges, could the inheritors, or if they're contesting the will, go to the base din and say, what made this the base din?
Again, only if it would be, because sometimes that's all you have in the city.
It's a leniency for a dying person. Only can't do everything. Right?
Yeah, what's he going
to
do?
To make a written thing and what?
Oh, just wait a couple weeks here, hang in there.
Yeah.
You gotta go and do what you gotta do.
So they'd have,
Obviously, there have to be credible people, these three. It can't just be regular balabatim, so, unless that's all you got in the city.
So in other words, if they're credible, the Beis Din would say they agree with their decision.
Well, obviously, the guy was telling it in front of those three. He was happy to have them be the... Listen, there's only one person who is the litigant, per se, and that's the dying man. The children have nothing to litigate, because it's not up to them who gets it. Right? They can want all day long. The family has nothing. There's only one thing we need to know. What did the dying man want? That's all. So these people can either serve the function as a witness and give over their testimony to the judges, or they can function as a judge themselves and render the judgment right then and there.
They can't do both.
Well, they would be witnesses if they
were
the judges.
Well, once they're being the judges, then they don't need any witnesses. What if judges see a case? What if somebody murders someone in a court?
You don't need
any. You're not going to need any witnesses.
Okay, so they can be judges also.
You're kind of skipping that step. They're just being the judges right then and there.
Do there other rules of behavior?
What if a guy walks into a court of three people and says, listen, this is what I want to do as my last will and testament. That's it. Game over. That's the judgment.
They've all heard it.
Is there any other rules, the rules of Adim, like, for example, they can't be brothers or...
Well, that would be the other rule. We didn't get to there. That's a whole different section of the Rambam. We have to then discuss what could Adim be. So that would be a whole different halacha. Okay, now, from here to the end, the Rambam gets a little bit, I wouldn't say not halachic, but it's a little bit philosophical as well. Zion. Kol Bezdin shall Yisrael shu hagun. Any Bezdin that's a proper Bezdin, meaning these people have the virtues we've enumerated on in the last few days, and they're adjudicating cases, and they have these qualities. Shechina imahem. The divine presence rests with them. As the Pasuk says, in Tehillim Elokim Nitzav Badas Kel, Hashem stands in a congregation of that's godly. Bekarav Elokim Mishpat, amongst Hashem, they will judge. So that says the Shekhinah dwells amongst judges who judge, who are proper judges. Leviga, therefore, realize that God is hovering over your court, and it's as if you are uttering the will of God, as it were, in these cases. So therefore, the judges have to comport themselves accordingly. They have to sit with fear and trepidation for the honor of the Shekhinah. Va'atifa, they have to cover their heads with a talis because of the fear they have for the Shekhinah. Va'kovid rosh, and with a very serious humbleness. But also, Hakol Rosh Hashanah, they shouldn't be lightheaded or joking around. Olasav b'sichu b'deila b'bezdin, they shouldn't be speaking idle chatter in the bezdin. Elak b'divrei Torah v'chachma, should only be speaking words of Torah and Chachma while they're sitting in the court. All right, now Ches, do one more. Kol Sanhedrin Omelech O Rosh Gola Shemid Olam Yisrael Dayin Sheino Hagun Veino Chachma B'chachma Satoira V'roy Elias Dayin. Now remember, who's appointing these judges? Any Sanhedrin, or a king, or the head of the exile, that was a leadership position where the Jews were in the exile. We didn't have a Jewish king in Israel, we're in the exile. There was a Reish Galus, called the exilarch. Okay? And he is the one who decides who the judges are, or the Sanhedrin. What if they choose people in the Sanhedrin who are not qualified? Even though he's very much beloved, he has lots of good midos. He's a really nice guy. He's a big mensch. V'yesh bo tovus, because he has other virtues, but he's just not a scholar. He doesn't know kol haTorah kula. He's missing like one of those minor ingredients, right? He's a nice guy. He's a great guy. Yirei Shamayim, everything. He's just not a big scholar. Hareze shemido, the one who puts him up into that position. Over below sas, he's transgressed a negative commandment. Shenemar, as it says, lo sakiru pani b'mishpat. You should not recognize faces in judgment, meaning to say you should not make false judgments. Now, it's not just the actual judgment, but if you're going to set up judges who, through their judging incorrectly, there'll be incorrect judgments, so then the one who sets them up is already transgressing. Mipiashmu, the rabbis teach, I spoke it out already outside. The rabbis have explained to us, this is referring to someone who appoints a judge. Amrucham, the rabbi said, Shemet, Tomer, you might think, Ish ploni noe, this is a nice guy. I'll make him a judge. Ish ploni giver is a strong man. He'll be able to stand up against people. A shivena, make him a judge. Ish ploni krovi, this man's my relative. So I got to do him a little favor. A shivena, make him a judge. Ish ploni yodeh b'chol lashon, this man is a linguist. So he knows all languages. A shivena, make him a judge. No, even though they have certain very good qualities, but they're lacking the most basic qualities, what will turn out, even these well-intentioned judges? They'll make the one who's supposed to be innocent will make him guilty, and the one who's supposed to be guilty will make him innocent. Not because this judge is a Russia. He doesn't have bad ideas about this, no nefarious ideas. He just doesn't know the law. Look, remember there it says, well, Sakira Paimabish, you shouldn't recognize face in the judgment. You have to be careful who you make as the judge, so he'll make sure he does the correct judgments. The other rabbis also said, Kalamabi Yisrael Dain Shein Ahogun, if someone establishes a judge who's not proper, Kilo Hakim and Sevis Lake, he set up an idol. Shenemer Velo Sakim Lukhamat Sevis Shesner Shalom, he should not set up idols that Hashem hates. And if you did it on top of that in a place where there were better scholars to choose from, you didn't choose them. It's kilu not asher. It's like you planted an asherah tree, which was a type of idol worship. Shenemar, it says right next to the law of a mizbeach, lo sitel chasheri, don't plant a tree idol. Kol eitz eshlam zech Hashem, you don't put it next to the mizbeach Hashem. And the Bezdin, the Sanhedrin, sat next to the mizbeach. So that's what it's saying. Don't put next to the mizbeach an idol. It means they don't put unworthy judges. So the rabbis also said, lo sasu nito lo hei kesev, you should not make for me gods of silver. Eloka habavishvil kesev, a god. He's already said Elohim is a name for judges. So don't make a judge because of money. That's a god of silver, a judge of silver, because he's been paid off. What's that? That's a judge that they appointed him what? Only because of his gold. I meant gold. Yeah. That's the one, he gives it from money, meaning he gave money to the king. A guy wants to be a judge. He pays off the king to make him a judge. So you shouldn't have gods of gold. The god, you're making a god, i.e. a judge, because of the gold that you're giving him, you're not allowed to do that. Okay, we almost finished the perek. I had another 5 minutes. I could finish the perek. Okay, shkai.